They're beginning the next chapter, Perek Tes, entitled Shira V'Zimra. We're on page Kuf Chaf Aleph in the Shabbos Malkus. Pinkus already told us a couple chapters ago that one of the items in which the Beis HaMikdash and Shabbos have parallels is regarding the singing that happened in the Beis HaMikdash and the singing that we have on Shabbos. So he's going to get into that. Shabbos Kodesh, Minig Yisrael, Loseis Chashivas, Miuchedes, Lashir, Lazimra. On the Holy Shabbos, the custom of the Jewish people is to give special importance, unique importance, to the concept of Shira Vizimra. Both words mean song, singing and song. So we'll explain the difference. B'chol HaSeudos, in all the meals, Noagim Yisrael, Bizmiras Shabbos, all Jewish people conduct themselves to sing Zmiros on Shabbos during the meals. V'chein b'tfila b'psukah d'zimra yesh tosefes Zmiros. Also in the davening, in the early part of the davening of psukah d'zimra, there's extra songs that are said. V'adavar mudgosh v'yoser b'kabbalah Shabbos. And this concept is accentuated much more in Kabbalah Shabbos, when we greet the Shabbos. She called Esa Kabbalah Shabbos Huzmiros, that the whole engagement of our activities during Kabbalah Shabbos is Zmiros. Miesh Maschilim B'Shir Hashirim. There are those who begin with the song of Shir Hashirim. We don't, but the Sephardim do. V'yachagach, and then afterwards everybody does Pirkei Tehillim, different chapters of Tehillim. Ho'iskim B'Myuchad B'Shira Uzimra, that specifically speak about concepts of singing. For example, we start off L'chu Neranana. What does L'chu Neranana mean? Let's go and let's Neranain, sing. Shiru L'Hashem. Let's sing a song to Hashem. Mizmor Shiru L'Hashem. Again, another Shiru L'Hashem. V'yachar Pizman L'chadodi. Then comes L'chadodi. And then Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Another one with Shir. Lots of Shir. Song. Music and song. So the way it comes out is that the Shabbos comes in amongst a lot of singing and song. So there's a lot to that on Shabbos. So we got to see what's the idea. Ulavayr k'tzas is a inyan lafi arkeinu, and to explain this concept a little bit according to our level. Natik mashikosav v'kuntra sha'arim b'tfilu perk rina v'bir kololos inyan shir v'zimra. I'm going to copy over some words I wrote in my other sefer, which was called She'orim B'Tvila, and the chapter there is called Rina, singing, where I give a general explanation of the concepts of the words Shira and Zimra. So that's what we're going to discuss now for a while. B'Shira LaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshnof Shnei Avanim. When we talk about the overall concept of Shira, song, in regards to singing a song to Hashem, we find two ways to do this. And here's the two words we're going to learn. Shira v'zimra. Shira and zimra. We have to explain what's the difference between these two words, shira and zimra. You hear these words all the time. They both seem to be translated in English the same. Sing and song. So what's the difference between them? In yina shira, what's the concept of a shira? Hu levate shivchei kodesh baruch hu al yidei sipur dvarim. A shira is a way of expressing the praises of Hashem through relating certain words. Kigon, for example, Shiras Hayom v'Shiras Devorah v'Chana. Like we have the concept of the Shiras Hayom, the song at the sea after the Egyptians were killed, the Shira of Devorah after the Jews won their battle, and the Shira of Chana after Hashem blessed with a child. This, if you look at the content there, those are various words that were sung to sing praises of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does or did. Right? That's what a shira is. It's one's verbal description of the praises of Hashem. That is a shira. Inyan zimra, what's the idea of a zimra? Hu hanigun v'chokhmas hamuzika shehoya levim b'kimbo. Zimra is a nigun, is a tune, a melody that people who are the wise people of music, which the Levim were, the wisdom of music is what the Levim were experts in. As the earlier rabbis write, and as we see, as one of the students of the Vilna Gaon wrote in his name, that there's a great wisdom and a great depth in terms of creating the tune that's involved in music. All right, so that's also a chachma. Okay, this sentence is a little bit funny here coming up, but or you could say Zimra is, I think that's what he's saying, Amiras Hallel Shein Mefarda Nisim Shaleim Omer Hallel Achshav Elatzaaka Klalis Shal Hallel Vedol Hashem, or the saying of Hallel, which is praise, which doesn't detail specific miracles that you're saying the Hallel for, but rather it's a general calling out of praise and thanks to Hashem. So he seems to incorporate in Zimra, beyond the standard translation of it's the tune, it's like a refrain of praise, but it's not talking about anything specific, even though God may have just saved your life. You know, like, praise be the Lord. Hodul Hashem ki tov kilum chesoch. You know, something like that. All right, okay. We're not going to talk too much about the second definition, but we're going to focus more on the first, you'll see. But the point's similar in these two last definitions, because we're not talking about anything specifically that Hashem did, right? Shira is specific praise for something specifically that Hashem did, right? That's Shira. Zimra is more, you know, not non-specific, and the least specific is just the melody. Okay, now, what's the difference? Venir Lanias Daiti Shemash Nichluku Chazal im Iker Shira Bepeh O Iker Shira Bekli. It appears to me that this which the rabbis argue, what is the main aspect of song? Is the main aspect of song with your mouth, what you say, the words, or is the main aspect of song with an instrument, right? In other words, when you talk about songs, right, you can be singing a song when the words are coming out, and you can be playing a song with an instrument. So there seems to be a difference here in terms of what is the main shira. Hainu im ikar ashira hema milim shal psukei haTorah tehilim shehayu omrim halavim b'shiras beis hamikdash. When they're talking about shira, that's why he's giving you two definitions of shira, you see. Because there's a debate over here. Is the main shira, well, not the two definitions, but is the main kinds of shira, the words of the Torah and Psalms that the Levim would say, for example, when they sang in the Beis Hamikdash? Oh, she'ikra shira hu anigun shoyim vasem biyofyo be'ikr bekli shir. Or is the main shira the tune that would come out in its beauty primarily through an instrument? So what is this main aspect? That seems to be the discussion, or, you know, of how they're breaking it down. Like, in what way do we express song to Hashem? And we see there's two ways to look at it, Shira and Zimra. Okay, so now let's talk about this, another concept. It's the same idea as this Zimra, but he's going to develop this a little bit. The inyan niganu, what's the aspect of a nigan? It's a nigun. Nigun. A nigun is a tune, right? And generally, the way we understand a nigun is something we vocalize, sounds we vocalize with no words. Okay, when we say sing a nigun, so what do you mean by a nigun? You're making noise. You're making noise. You're not saying words. You're making noise. All right. Kasher ha. So what's the concept? Kasher adam ba levatei rikshe hodav v'simcha. The person wants to express his feelings of thanksgiving and happiness. V'homa libo umisragish kolkach, and his heart is, you know, just what? Full. Excited, yeah. And he has a lot of feelings. Ad she'eni yochel levatei rikshosov ulevar b'milim. To the point where he cannot express his feelings, and he can't explain them in words. You know, the old cliche, words cannot express how I feel now. So what do you do when words cannot express? So the non-Jews don't really have this idea so much as we do. You never see anyone at the Academy Awards say, words cannot express my feelings of thanks, so I will sing a niggun, right? Never had that. But that's really what we're talking about. When you're at that point where you're so full of emotion, but you just don't know what to say, as misparets benigun, he explodes, he breaks out in a song, in a tune. Visharhu belimilim, and he sings without words. Zeu inyan azimra, that's the idea of a zimra. Bitui shel simcha vahoda amuka shein koach b'milim lahalbisha. It's an expression of deep joy and thanksgiving, which words are not able to enclose and encapsulate those feelings. So the same thing will happen if you use an instrument. An instrument does the same thing. It makes a noise, but there are no words. Right? That's your niggin. Your niggin or an instrument does the same thing. There's a lot of feeling there, but there are no words that can hold those feelings that are there. It could be either the feeling is so great that you can never have any words, or the person doesn't have the capability, doesn't have the knowledge and the skill and the wisdom to know which words to fit into the emotion. But it could very well be he's skillful, but it's just nothing can describe this. It could be sadness too. It could be sadness too. No question. No question about that. Well, okay, therefore, Motzanu Pa'amim, we'll find at certain times where we have Shira Kodemes Lezimra. You'll find in the writings of King David, and we'll show it in a minute, where we'll have the concept of Shira coming before the concept of Zimra, where you'll first hear the word Shira. Shira, you're saying words. You're saying words that are expressing your thanks. And then it goes from words into a niggun. Kigon, for example, we have Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach. Shir, a Mizmor for the children of Korach. Right? Upa Amim. Right? So you have that sometimes. You look in the Tehillim, you have the word Shir and then the word Mizmor. Zemer, Zimra, Zimra. Primarily it's the tune. Right? So you have Shira and Zimra. Right, upa'am the other time, which we're more accustomed to, mizmor shir. Mizmor shir, a zimra, and then a shir. Shepa'amim. So it comes out like this. Sometimes, maschil b'shira, lomris rigsha liba badal Hashem. Sometimes a person begins to sing a song, to say his feelings of his heart, to show his thanks to Hashem, and their actual words coming out. But, v'akashir misrakes u'misatzem b'shira, but when he concentrates and he focuses and strengthens himself in this song, misgabrim hargoshav od v'od, his feelings get stronger and stronger as the words come out, until he loses the strength to express, and now he bursts out in a tune because he can't use any more words anymore. The words build up your feelings that you can't express yourself anymore. You know, sometimes we have that, for example, even without a song at all. If a person's telling over his story of woe, starts talking, and the more you talk, the feelings start to kick in, all of a sudden the person bursts out crying. It's the same thing. What happened? What was wrong? Couldn't you just explain more? No, you were just overcome with emotion. There's nothing more. You can't use words anymore. And the emotion of crying takes over. That would be a similar example, right? Upa'amim lepa, sometimes the opposite. Kasher bolo hisayrus pisam aide ezim mikrit ifla. If a sudden arousal comes to you through a wondrous happening, and it's catching you off guard, and all of a sudden, veni yochel avate visvasav rakparis bezimmer, you can't even begin to express with your lips. And you just jump into a song. But then as the song gets you, and you get acclimated to the situation through the niggin, during time he settles a little bit. Umaska lavate b'milim shel shira es asher libo margish. He's able to express in words, in song, that which his heart has been feeling. So there's different ways of it beginning and ending. Either you start with words and it builds up to the point. But what is clear is that when you're using a niggin, you're at a state where you cannot express yourself with words. And that is Zimra. That is Zemer. And that's what an instrument can do as well. When you're playing an instrument, you're trying to describe a feeling that your words cannot do. So that's the real trick of singing songs to a tune. You see, when we're talking about, you know, Shira itself, I mean, technically it doesn't have to be a melody. Technically it doesn't have to be a melody, although, generally speaking, there is a melody. But it's a point of expressing yourself. We're not talking, we're not dialoguing, but I'm expressing. So you see, that's a song, right? But, so it's a real trick, is to fuse the melody with the lyrics. And each one should be true to the feeling that is happening over here. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's why you have to be careful with a lot of these modern songs that you hear lately, where people will take rocked up tunes to very serious words. And the tune, the melody does not fit the lyrics at all. You have to be careful, especially, let's say, during Kedusha. During Kedusha, where the whole theme of the lyrics is our longing for the Beis HaMikdash. When will the Beis HaMikdash be back again? Right? And people will do a very exciting tune. It just doesn't fit. So you've got to be careful when you're singing certain, using certain tunes. The tunes have to be fitting into the words. So can you imagine doing Acheinu Chalos Yisrael to a rocked up tune? Right? It just doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. So, although there's other times where the tune should be, it's glorious and should be to a march or something very happy and exciting. So you have to, it's a real trick. Well, not that it's wrong, it's crazy. You're a moron for doing it. It's like you use a springy tune. Oh wow, I'm the saddest person in the world. I feel I'm going to die. Like, you're crazy. You're crazy. Is it wrong? You're crazy. How can you do that? You're not accomplishing what it's meant to accomplish.
You don't know the words. You just know the
tune. Right? Can you imagine it during Echa. We'll do a upbeat tune for Echa. You know what's going on? You're crazy. You're not engaged. It just doesn't make any sense, right? You definitely aren't going to accomplish the goal of what singing a song is supposed to do. It's a contradictory message that you're saying, and obviously you can't be feeling anything if you are conveying such a contradictory message. So that's very important. And that's what good chazanim, a good chazan, obviously he knows what the words mean, and he finds something that fits that. The Hasidic Rebbes, who were big song creators, made tunes that fit the words. And in yeshivas, you know, where they have traditions, you know, for like 100 years already, on the high holidays, to sing certain nigunim to certain words, because they knew those words fit into the feelings that were going on. So that's a very important thing, and a sensitive ear who knows Hebrew will be able to appreciate what's going on there. Okay, there's some that just don't fit at all, and you'll find that quite often in contemporary tapes and cassettes, CDs, whatever. Okay, let's continue now. So we've got Shira and Zimra. Okay, Shira is the exact words that you say to express your feelings of thanksgiving. We have Zimra, which is the melody or the instrumental that goes with that, and how one can lead into the other. Now, Vinei Yadua, it's well known. She osio satora shebichsav yesh ben shlosha chalokim. When you look at the letters of our written Torah, you look into a chumash, you find three parts to the letters in the Torah. Ha'osios atzvam im hatagin. You have the letters themselves, the way they're written, with the little designs and the crowns on the top. You have the letters. Then we have hanekudos. Then you have the dots. They're not in the Sefer Torah, but there are dots that we know by our heritage. Moshe gave it over to us, is how you read the word. And you find it in the Chumash, the dots. V'hata'amim. Ta'amim are those little cantillation marks, mapach, pashta, that you find on top or below the words. You have three parts to a word in the Torah. So let's discuss these three. Ha'osios atzmon, the letters themselves, it's a revelation of the words of Torah with a complete revelation. Here it is. These are the letters. However, the letters alone is not enough, but it is revealing to us Hashem's will through these letters. Hanakudos, on the other hand, the dots, hein chios haosios, they're the life of the letters. They bring the letters to life. Shal yedei hanakudos, yesh haosios muvin operish, that through the dots, the letters have an understanding and explanation. You can have three letters that could mean something altogether different. Right? You have right here. Hey nun hey. Hey nun hey. What's the word hey nun hey? Hine? Could be hena. Two different words. Hine means behold. Behold. Wow. Hine. Or hena, here. It's over here. Two different meanings. Right, if you're reading from the Torah, the word is hine, and you'd say hena, we'd have to correct you. It's totally the wrong meaning. Right? So, the dots, you know, give the whole life to the letters. The letters are there. You can't argue with the letters are there. There's three letters, four letters. This is what it is. This could be the root. But you don't know what that word is at all unless you've got dots. Now, sometimes there's only one possible option. But either way, it's those dots that bring, you know, you couldn't say the word. If you just have a hey, a nun, and a hey, you can't even pronounce anything. You can't say anything because you don't know what to say. A hey alone goes, and a nun goes, mm. So it's, right? It's not a word. Put in the kuda there, then it's he, nay. Ah, the letters have come to life. That's what the nakudas do. All right? Now we have one other thing. Amnam, inyan ha-ta'amim. What's the ta'amim? What's the cantillation marks? And the cantillation marks, that's really where the song comes. The whole Torah, right? When we refer to the Torah at the end of Parshas Vayelech, Hashem says, Kisfuli es hashira hazos. Write for me this song. The rabbis say that really the whole Torah is a song. The Torah is a song. And there's a song about that. Right? A modern song. Kisfuli es hashira hazos. Right? And it's a song because it has cantillation marks throughout the entire book. And that when you lay it from the Torah, that's the singing. When you lay it from the Torah, that's the song of the Torah. And every cantillation mark is very important in terms of expressing feelings and understanding how to read it. And that's what he's going to say. Well, you know, it's better. Let me finish this paragraph. It'll probably answer some questions, and I'll take questions. So, what's the idea? And in Hebrew, it's called a ta'am. Ta'amim. What we call the trup, the cantillation marks. They're called the ta'amim, or one of them is called a ta'am. So he says, there. Shama nistaros, that's where the hidden mysteries are. Vitame a Torah, and the reasons of the Torah. Now, it's reflecting that. Vinayesh kama perushim lemila ta'am. There's many translations for the Hebrew word ta'am. Ta'am. What does the word ta'am mean? Omilashan, either it's from the expression of siba ubiur, meaning a reason or an explanation. As we have the most famous commentators who wrote Ta'amei HaMitzvot, the reasons for mitzvot. Mahatam, what's the reason why you did this? Why did you do this? Ta'am, that's one meaning. Omilasha Nigan, or it's from the expression of a Nigan, of a tune. Ta'am, it's a cantillation note. Omilasha Masha Achech Toim HaMachal, or expression of how the palate tastes food. Tom, the food has no tom. It has no taste. Or you know, we have in the Torah where Yitzchak asked Esav to make mat'amim, tasty foods, from tom. So we got three meanings of the word tom. Doesn't mean a reason, doesn't mean a cantillation mark, a tune, or doesn't mean a taste. Three meanings. And the truth of the matter is, u'shloshes anyanim olim b'kon echad. All three aspects really go in one direction. They're similar. He can explain. Kemo haroa davar meichel. If you see an item of food, you go an uga, like a cake. Hare mikoch riyaso adayin eni yodea v'ha tochen apnimi shel uga. Just by looking at the cake, you don't know what the inner content of the cake is. You see this round object with brown stuff all over it. So you might think it's a chocolate cake. You could be fooled. It could be an angel food cake. Is that thing? You know, angel food is white. No, wrong one. Sorry. It could be chocolate covered vanilla cream pie with little bits of strawberries inside, and they just didn't put any strawberries on the outside to fool you. So you thought it was a chocolate cake. What are you talking about? It's a vanilla cream pie with some chocolate on the top. How am I going to know? I got to bite into it, and I'll taste it. And I'll, or nowadays with food coloring, you could make it look brown and it tastes vanilla. Right? I don't know why they don't do that. You know, I don't know why they don't do that new shtick. They're doing every shtick with food coloring. You know, I've never seen. I bet you they make a lot of money. Just like when they make green ketchup, right? Make brown colored cake that tastes like vanilla. I don't know if that would work. But anyway, but that's what a taste does. Right? You're not sure what's in there. Aval kasher toma, when you taste it, you do mikoach atam, you know from the power of taste. Kama kemach yeshba, how much flour is in it. Kama sukkar, how much sugar. Kama tavlin, how many spices. You can tell just by one taste. It tells you a lot about the inner content of that cake. Shatam megales apnimius v'tam tzisadover. That the tam, the taste, reveals the inner essence of the thing. Right? That's what tam is. That's what a taste is. Kein tam ha-Torah. Similar, when we deal with the tam ha-Torah, the reasons of the Torah. Or anyway, how we use this. Minachim v'ham ikr sodas ha-Torah. There are resting the primary secrets of the Torah. Right? And that's what a real tam is. When that cantillation marks is deep, 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 deep stuff. You know, because really every cantillation mark, the Hebrew word for the cantillation mark, is a Hebrew word. You know, so, you know, mapach, pashta, sokev, katon, all of these have meanings. I don't want to get into that now, but they all have meanings. Rivi means the fourth, right? So there's munach, comes to a rest. There's all, if you study, it'd be a fascinating study to take all the cantillation names of the notes that have meanings. They each have a meaning. All right, pashta, pashat, to spread out. Right, there's meanings to it, and there's multiple meanings to each one of those. And if you look at the trup over the words, the trup can give you deeper meanings to what's going on. Vilna Gaon has a famous one with Yehuda. When Yehuda came close, he takes the whole trup, and all the trup explains why Yehuda was the one who came to Yosef and nobody else. You know, and the trup explains why Yehuda was the one who came, why him of everybody else. Gives you the deeper meaning. It's a whole science of intellect. Again, it's better to do it if you have a good Baal Koreh, but it's not me'akev. It's not to hold you back. What holds you back is the revealed pshat. The hidden pshat, we're not going to hold you back. Yeah, a good Baal Koreh should read it properly. But if you don't, we're not going to spend an hour and a half making corrections and having an impossible waiting. So that's another thing. That's the tam. Right? And v'gam l'hasagenu, even for us, the tam is important. Morim ha-tamim heichem l'hafsik. The tam, the cantillation marks, tell us where to pause. Where to accent the words in the pasuk. You know, at the beginning of the word, the end of the word, you look where the tam is. If the mark, the cantillation mark's at the end, you have to stress the word at the end. The accent's the end, as opposed to the accent being in the front. You know, you don't want to mispronounce words. It's also important. And it also is punctuation. Where do we pause? It's not just an explanation of the word itself, but over the whole entire verse and gives a meaning for all the words and the intention for all the words. Right? So now when you're looking at that trup, it makes us understand the pasuk better. Not just a word on its own. And therefore also, when we're talking about these ta'amim, these cantillation marks, there's a concept of tune, melody. Because what is a melody? Nothing less than what? The depth of the reality of the whole content and concept that you're dealing with. And the melody will reflect the feeling that's supposed to be projected. And now once you feel that way, it's almost as if you could taste the psukim. So you can taste them. You know, that's the idea. When you really understand the concept, it's like you're tasting it. That's what taste really is. It's the deeper feeling, the deeper understanding. That's what taste is. And that's why, you know, that's why we say, Va'arevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei sorasecha. In the Birchas HaTorah, make the words of your Torah sweet to us. The words of the Torah should be like a candy. It should be sweet. When is it sweet? When you understand it. You read the words, you know what's going on. It's not sweet. You read it, and you really understand the depths of the Torah that you're reading. It's a tremendous pleasure. It's a sweetness. You know, you'd always have, you know, when a Rebbe would go through a shir and he'd give us his pshat in the Gemara, he says, Masok midvash, sweeter than honey. The words of the Torah are sweeter than honey. It's so sweet. When the words come out, so beautiful. So therefore, you have all these aspects, and the cantillation mark notes are a very critical part. It's the tam. It gives you the taste, the real taste of Torah. You know, is the depth that's hidden with these cantillation marks, and it's a big giveaway as to how the psukim are supposed to be understood. Okay. Now we understand ta'amim. Was a nice little explanation. So let's move on. Vine. Not heina. Vine. See, that's why you don't have dots. It's you know, you have to really know your Hebrew to read a sefer without dots, because you can butcher up the text. Unbelievable. Right? So that's another level of understanding. Vine bishlema. Now that's the question. I could understand madichsiv shir mizmor. When we said that sometimes shir comes before mizmor, and sometimes mizmor comes before shir. So I understand shir and then mizmor. So what's shir? Shir is a nigin. Shir is the words. Shir is the words. I'm saying words, and the words just get my emotion going until I have no more words to say, and now I move into mizmor, which is the nigin, which is just emotion. I can understand that. You're going from the lighter to the heavier. What does it mean? You're starting with shiro. You're saying words. That's the easier part when I can express. When you get deeper and deeper in the feelings, you get to the inside. Now you get to the deepest feelings of zimra, of nigin. I can understand how that happens. I start with words, but as I say the words and my emotions get deeper, the words aren't enough. So I can see how I could go from Shira to Zimra. Avomad Ichsiv Mizmor Shir. How about when it's Mizmor Shir? I start with Nigin and then I go to words. I'm going from deeper to lighter. How does that happen? Matchila Zimra. You start with Zimra, Vracha Shira, and then Shira. My Rubu said, what's the Chiddush? What's the new insight? Because we know, Harei Malin B'Koshei Marim, you're supposed to go higher in Kedusha, not down. If I'm doing a Nigin already, that must be a deep thing. Now from the deeper I go to the less deep, and now I express myself. When words can't express you, that means the feeling is strong. It's too much, too hard to express. So if I'm starting with a Nigin, how can I go from a Nigin into words? Right. We understand when we sing certain songs at Shal Shuddis, we start with the words, and then it just goes from the words into the nigin. Right? Essa Einai. Right? After a few times around, if you really understand what's going on, you know, the words can't contain your emotions anymore. You just sang the la la la. Dai, 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 dai. Because it's beyond the words now. That makes a lot of sense. But start with die, 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 and then go to SAA night. It just doesn't go. You're cutting down. But we see that happens. We say many times, right? Mizmor Shir, Liyom HaShavas, Mizmor Shir, a lot of them. So how do you understand this? Avol be'emes, but the truth is in Hachinami. Yes, we have to agree. Shavara Yesh Malum Yucheres Binyan HaMizmor. There is an added level of a mizmor. It's deeper, of a niggun. It comes from a deep feeling, and you're just totally nispal, you're just totally, what's the Hebrew English word? You're totally, not surprised, overcome. There's a better English word for it. But the astonished is a better word than that. But anyway, the feelings are strong. But on the other hand, there is a side of deficiency in a niggun, as deep as it is, but there's a lesser aspect to it. Vav sakon, and even a danger, if there's only a niggun. Vudadavka mitnei rov hisrachus eni yochol letargim advarim leolam amaisa. Yeah, you're saying it, what? Because of the tremendous feeling, you're not able to translate it into this world. You're not able to attach it into this world and give it a reality. So what happens? The danger is, these words remain only words of the heart. And nothing real comes out of it. No action step. So what you have is just that the emotions of the moment and nothing more and nothing lasts. An amazing event happened in your life. You are so filled with thanks, Hashem, you can't say anything. So you sing a niggun for 20 minutes. Ah, it's out of the system. And now the emotional feeling's gone. A day later, you look back, and there's nothing to remember the event. You didn't capture the moment. If you wrote the... Can you imagine after Jews crossed the sea, right? Oh, wow, it was amazing. And they start singing. A niggun, die. And the niggun captured their feeling unbelievably. So what do we have to record it for history? How do you remember the event? It was die. Yeah, it just doesn't. That's the problem. You know, when you write nigunim, a list of nigunim, what to sing, and a lot of them are nigunim. What do you write? The die niggun, da, la. You don't know what the niggun is. So you always have to add the words Shmelky's niggun. He was the one. That was the one who initiated Karl Bach niggun. I know it's Karl Bach, so he did that. And, right? But the problem is you have nothing to capture. It's like when you take a picture, you know. You say, we have to take a picture to keep capture the moment. So you're supposed to be capturing it in with that feeling that's coming out of your mouth. But it can't be just the la la la. There's got to be words that come to it. So only if after the zemer, if after the niggun, tavo hashira, comes the actual words, she's boning the dvarim, where you can think about the words, v'yitayim asavilim, and translate into real words. Oz hasoga nitfeses yosef bepratis, the hasoga, the grasp that you have of what's going on, it's much more detailed grasp. You got a real handle on it. A real handle. V'yodea lehafocha solalach lamais, you're able to turn it into something real. V'yishar b'yado kinyan mizimer v'shira eli, he's able to remain a kinyan acquisition from this zimra to become this shira. And you can always hold on to those feelings. That's what David HaMelech could do. And that's what you have to notice in different Tehillim. When it's Mizmor Shir, that's a giveaway that David, when he was going through a certain event, he was doing a niggun first. He was doing a niggun, and the niggun just kept going and going and going until he finally got the words. Right? Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. It's just, Shabbos was way too deep, way too much to put into words. So after he would do a niggun for I don't know how many hours, then the words came tumbling out. And now it's something lamaisa. This is a real way to understand the feeling of Shabbos through these words. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept. Okay, so now you understand how it's going both ways. B'derech klal, in general, ha'hislavu sa'atsumo, the deep enthusiasm, excitement, b'me asogas klolis, come from general grasps of the situation. Huh. You just feel amazing. It's just general. Ubavoda sabore tarta bina lekuvo. But in God's service, you need both, and each one is holds you back from fulfilling it properly. Hasagas haklos, you need an overall grasp. V'his partusam leprate pratim. And then you have to detail that grasp. You have to have an overall feeling, wow, I feel happy. What about? And let's detail that happiness. You got to have both. Adam nichlas lebeis hakneses. Person goes into shul. V'yomer Hashem elokein Hashem echad b'kavona tzuma. You say Shema Yisrael Hashem elokein Hashem echad with a lot of kavona. V'vasachas in one moment himlichas hakadosh baruch hu shivas erekim haaretz v'arbaruchas shemaim. In that one instant of Shema Yisrael, you crown Hashem over the seven firmaments haaretz of this world and the four corners of the world. That's a big thing, isn't that? That's a big statement, Shema Yisrael. So what do you have to say anything more? What do you have to get to Vahafta and all that? What do you need three paragraphs for Shema? I said it already. What's more than Shema Yisrael? He's everything. Finished. Why say more is less? Right? The answer is, so I'm just going a minute over so you'll at least have understanding what you're saying in Shema today. With all your hearts, with all your soul, with all your resources. Well, Hemshech brought their parshas, means part of the Ramach, and all the parshas that are add up to 248 words. Hey, can we give a lot? So, Malchus Shemaim, Shem of Mysterious Nevis, Sheirot Lovato. You already accepted the yoke of heaven with complete Mysterious Nevis, that there's none others but him. There's no reality but him. Vin came Gomar, Vihisigakol, you finished everything. Umayeshul Siva, what's there to add? Vihakish Omer, Koneha Kol, Bishonesu, when you say Koneha Kol. In the beginning, Koneha Kol. He means he owns everything. Everything comes from Hashem. Why are you going to detail? Das, tshuva, gula, refuah, parnasha. What do you know the brachos for? Okay, we have to stop. Sorry. I can't keep you so many minutes. But that's an interesting question. Right? But obviously the answer is, I'll just say the answer. You know Hashem is everything. Therefore, how does it translate into your day? How do you live by it? I know Hashem is everything. So you just sit back with that thought. Okay, Hashem is everything. Okay, God, Viter, next subject. No, Hashem is everything. And therefore, it translates that I'll give all my money for Hashem. I'll give my life to Hashem. And I'm going to put on tefillin. And I'm going to teach Torah to my children. I'm going to speak of the words wherever I am. And I'm going to accept it, all the mitzvahs. That's the detail that makes it happen. So you have to have the general. You can have details and not have the general. You can put on tefillin to teach Torah and not know that Hashem is Einod Milvado. There's nothing else but Hashem. So that's what we're saying. In Jews, you have to have both. You have to have the overall, and then how does it translate? Okay, we'll continue that tomorrow.